This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hasn't happened a lot lately, but when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. And after every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small Frosty. This offer is only good for 24 hours after win, so act fast and get your free small Frosty at Wendy's after any Bucks win. Speaking of those Bucks, joining me now to talk a little bit about them, he covers the Bucks for The Athletic. It is Eric Name. Eric, long time, buddy. How are you? It's always a pleasure.
I am well. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm better now. I was not so happy watching that Bucks game last night. 145 points, Eric. That was, I feel like I keep saying this, but that was about as ugly a loss as we've seen in a season of some ugly losses last night, Eric. Would you agree?
Yeah, that was about as bad as they've played all year. 145 points is the most points that they've given up on the season. They are scoring with the Hawks at first, and, you know, for the first two quarters, they score 75, and you're thinking, okay, well, this isn't how they want to win, but maybe they could win this way. And then they have a 17-point third quarter, and the offense looks just as disjointed as the defense, and all of a sudden they're down by 25. And it just was not a good night in Fiserv for them.
You know, I was reeling off some of the statistics that you had in your most recent article this morning up at The Athletic. Everybody should go out and check it and check out all of Eric's work. Check covering the Bucks for The Athletic. But since they were 11 games over 500, the high point of the season, and that was with a 30-point win over the Mavericks, they've won four of their last 13. What, in your opinion, Eric, and obviously they lost Dame at one point in that stretch, but what, in your opinion, has been the biggest difference in this Bucks team from when they went from literally playing their best basketball right to playing their worst basketball of the season? How does that happen?
Yeah, I think that day, you know, they beat Dallas. That was two times in three games, right? And it's that shorthanded Dallas team that was really banged up. And, you just kind of sat there and thought, okay, this feels good that, you know, they're winning games, but also they're playing a stretch of teams that really weren't very competitive out of the All-Star break. And you kind of wondered to yourself, like, all right, while they haven't played some good teams, they also like beat the Denver Nuggets. They started off the post-All-Star session with a win over the Clippers. So there's a couple good wins in there, and you're just trying to figure out if it was real or not. And I think I remember writing it in my next story after that win against Dallas, like, all right, well, 12 of the next 13 games are against playoff teams. And this is going to kind of show what this team is about. They got a 5-game Western Conference road trip in there. This is everything is kind of happening now, and we're going to figure out what this team is about. And that test certainly wasn't passed. I don't know if failed is exactly where it was, but it seems like D-level basketball over this stretch, to lose that many games and to not really win those games. They've had some bad stuff happen, right? They get the suspension for Bobby Portis is really been tough for them. Then all of a sudden you have the bright spot of Jericho Sims, and then Jericho Sims, has the ligament in his thumb and needs to get surgery on it. And then all of a sudden you have the terrible news with Damian Lillard and the blood clot in his right calf. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, all these things build up and it just hasn't gone well. They haven't responded well. They're playing shorthanded most nights, and they really haven't found a way to make up for all of those absences. And I think you kind of get to this spot where after the road trip, they come back, they lose to the Knicks. They are now on the season. They are done with the top three teams in the East. They went 0-10 against the top three teams in the Eastern Conference this year. And then all of a sudden you get to Atlanta and, you know, you give up 145 points, the most points they've given up in a game this season. And it's just a spot where all those injuries kind of built up and accumulated and got to a spot where it was a little bit too much to manage. And now this team is really, to me, just kind of fighting for its life to get to the playoffs. And I know I've had a number of Bucks fans kind of with the stories I've written recently be like, oh, how could you say it's still possible that they can make a deep playoff run? Or, you know, how can you have any bit of optimism about this team? And I think the thing I kind of keep coming back to is I'm still under the impression Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the Eastern Conference. And everything I've ever known about playoff basketball is that the best player in every series wins. More often than not, that is going to be the case. It doesn't always work out that way. Mm-hmm. You know, there are notable exceptions. I think the last time Giannis was healthy for a full playoff series is a good example in 2022 when they lost to the Boston Celtics and Giannis was putting up insane numbers. But for the most part, if you have the best player, you have a chance in every playoff series. And I can't say the season's over, they're doomed, because of that. Like, I just think too much of Giannis Antetokounmpo as a basketball player that this guy can do miraculous things. I've seen it with my own eyes. The 2021 championship is a good example of it. Like, he was that guy. The last time we saw him in a playoff series fully healthy, he was that guy again in 2022. And I think as long as that's the case, I think they're going to have a chance. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a large chance, right? They're certainly not going in this thing as the favorites. And they got some regular season games that they got to find their way through.
I've long held that belief too, Eric, and we're not the only ones. It's not some theory that you and I came up with that the best player usually will win a playoff series in the NBA. That being said, with all the other injuries that they're already dealing with, and Giannis was ailing not too long ago, how much do they have to sort of balance watching his workload to try and make sure they have a healthy Giannis for a playoff series while also trying to win games and not fall too far in that Eastern Conference playoff picture?
I think when you look at last night, there are a couple notable things, right? Like, obviously, the 145 points is really bad. That's not ideal. Giannis played 30 minutes last night. Brooke Lopez played 30 minutes last night. One thing that Doc has been pretty transparent about is the fact that they have, at times when they've been without their third big man, whether that was Bobby Portis, grieving the loss of his grandmother before the All-Star break, or Bobby Portis and his suspension, or Jericho Sims and his injury, like, if they only have two bigs, which is the reality right now for Giannis and Brooke, or at least the reality that Doc Rivers is using because those are the players that he is willing to put on an NBA court. If that's the reality, they've said, like, we are not going to overexert Brooke Lopez. And I think you see 30 minutes last night, that makes a lot of sense. I think last night was one of the first times that you see Giannis's minutes that low. And I do think this is where everything is really difficult to manage right now, because you're undermanned, you're not playing good basketball, and when you're undermanned and not playing good basketball, that means the two-time MVP wants to go out there and just do it himself.
Yep.
Right? He wants to do everything in his power to win the game. But all season long, they've said the only thing that matters is getting Giannis and Dame to the playoffs healthy. And if we can do that, then those guys can do their thing in the postseason. Well, through something pretty much totally out of their control, a blood clot is not something that, you know, you can play through or you have a whole lot of control over. We don't know what Damian Lillard's health status will be for the playoffs. Right now, they have a healthy Giannis, and I do think like they do have to play. It's a pretty fine line here, and I think when you look at some of their opponents coming up, you look at the Phoenix team that's been a mess all season long and now is not going to have Kevin Durant tomorrow night. You look at a 76ers team that's actively trying to lose. You look at a Miami Heat team that is outside the play, like is going through a whole lot after getting after the Jimmy Butler trade. And then you look at the New Orleans Pelicans also out of the standings. You have some games there that, like, I can't say they should win because they're playing such bad basketball at this point that I don't know if you can say that on any given night, but like there are some very winnable games in winnable games that you could have a not so heavy workload on Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then, you know, you get to the final two games. And if you can win some of these games coming up here, stay within two games of the Detroit Pistons and then beat the Detroit Pistons twice in the final 3 days of the regular season, you can hop back above the Detroit Pistons and put yourself in a better playoff position. So it's really tough. And I think that's a really difficult thing to manage because you have to manage getting someone healthy, maybe not trying to win as hard as you want to. And if you're not trying to win as hard as you want to, how do guys go out and play in those situations? So I just think it's an accumulation of a lot of things right now. And they're going to have to find their way through it. I don't think there's necessarily an easy answer because everything is so fraught that when you put so much on a superstar like the Bucks have with Giannis Antetokounmpo, like it just puts you in a really difficult position. And the Bucks are going to have to try to find their way through.
Talking with Eric Name, covers the Bucks for The Athletic here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Rami in for Sparky. Have we underestimated how much they miss Bobby Portis? Not just the sixth man of the year candidate that he is every year and the threat that he poses on the court, but you just went through the whole ordeal and dilemma that they have with big man minutes with Giannis and Brooke. That alone, just a viable body in that big man rotation. Did we sort of underestimate how much they have or when it started would miss a Bobby Portis during the suspension?
I think yes. I also think that, again, you couldn't really prepare for Jericho Sims to tear a ligament in his thumb. Because I think part of, and again, you had no idea that Bobby Portis was going to get suspended for 25 games. That was not something that the Bucks thought was coming. But, you know, they kind of lucked out by going out and getting a big body in Jericho Sims, and then you have this happen. So I think throughout the last, let's see, I mean, since Bobby Portis got here, so across the last five seasons, the Bucks have pretty much always had a three-man rotation of bigs, and it's always been Giannis and Brooke and Bobby, and Brooke and Bobby almost always play, aside from the year where Brooke had his back injury and ultimate back surgery. They play like 95% of games. Those two have been Iron Men for the Bucks, and then, you know, you have the suspension happen with Bobby, and it's really tough. And I think you go from, even if, you know, there are plenty of Bucks fans that don't like the way Brooke Lopez plays, and there's plenty of people that don't like the way Bobby Portis plays, you can say whatever you want about their play styles and what they contribute, but they're there every night, and they are big, and they are helpful, and they do things on the NBA court that can help you win games. They might not be exactly what fans want, or they might not do the exact things that people want to see, but they do things that help you win basketball games, and they've done so for the last 5 years. And it just puts you in a spot where, one, they kind of figured it out with Jericho Sims, and then you have an injury, and you just are in a spot where Doc is not comfortable playing a 19-year-old rookie in Tyler Smith, and he doesn't want to put a two-way guy in there in Pete Nance. And now the Bucks are trying to find their way through without big men, and it is a really tough thing to do. As much as going small is in vogue, that's great, but that means Giannis is the one that's going to have to bear the brunt of that physical toll, and that's not something you want to do. And as much as small ball is in vogue and people get excited about it, there's also a lot of bigs in the NBA. Like, you can't teach 7 feet. You can't teach being big. And almost every team has a bunch of big dudes, and that's going to be really hard to do. So, yeah, I do think it has been under – potentially when Bobby first went out, his absence was maybe underrated a little bit in what it would mean to this Bucks team.
You know, when I'm watching a game like last night, and he did get in the game last night, but as I've watched this stretch that they've struggled through the last 14, 15 games, one of the major problems has been transition defense. And not that he would single-handedly solve it, but I have wondered, and I've had the conversation with other Bucks fans of, What happened to Andre Jackson Jr.? Like, where did his minutes go? And even with all the injuries that they've had that you've reeled through here, Eric, he still can't seem to find the court except in a blowout loss like the one that they had last night. What happened there with Andre Jackson Jr. and his minutes?
I think that is a question best answered by Doc Rivers. And essentially, the reason that we got right out of the All-Star break why Andre was out of the rotation was that they didn't think the minutes that he was playing with Giannis were successful enough. The numbers were bad, and they just didn't think that was a pairing that was going to work. And again, I asked the question last night, and you know, it's kind of the same thing that, you know, they have a couple people in front of him in the rotation. So, as it turns out, that's Pat Connaughton, and Pat Connaughton was above him in the rotation. And to me, I think it's a question that is going to continue to need to be asked, especially when they struggle with things that he provides. At the start of the year, I mean, it was funny last night, like Doc had kind of laid it out. He was like, you know, at the start of the year, we weren't a very good transition team defensively, and then all of a sudden, we were a great transition defensive team, and now we're struggling with it again. And I was already about to ask about Andre Jackson Jr. and why he wasn't in their top eight or why they didn't go nine deep the other night. And then it just felt like a perfect setup for me. And I asked him, I was kind of surprised that wasn't, you know, that he kind of rejected and said, you know, that's not a game that he likes to play, you know, trying to play the backup quarterback or whatever, or why didn't you pick that guy or play that guy? Because in my head, you know, I understand his struggles offensively. I understand that the numbers were not good offensively with him and Giannis on the floor, but I do know that the defense was good. And if this team feels like their identity right now needs to be that of a defensive team and a team that, as Giannis likes to say, is going to muck it up, I think Andre Jackson Jr. is a player that can really do those things. He showed that he's had that ability. He can press guys full court. He did it against Trae Young in the semifinals in Las Vegas, and then he did it again in the finals in Las Vegas against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the guy that's probably going to win MVP this year. Like, I just think it's really interesting now that Doc has just decided that whatever is going on offensively is maybe so bad that they don't want to play Andre, or maybe what he was bringing defensively is something that we maybe overrated, or on the outside we thought deserved more credit than what he actually deserved or was given within the offices of the coaching staff. So I think it's a question that I will continue to wonder, and I would guess a question that I will continue to ask as long as the Bucks continue struggling as a transition defense and as a defense here to close out the season.
You know, Eric, whether I'm talking to people on the air like I was today, or just off the air talking to Bucks fans, friends of mine, and how this thing is going, and if it doesn't get back on track and make that deep playoff run that you talked about earlier, just how much of this is or should change but before next season. And I hear everything, and I'm sure you do too, being the guy who covers the Bucks for The Athletic. You hear everything from fire Doc to trade Dame to even trade Giannis is something that I've heard. If they don't get this thing on track, Eric, how much change do you think is on the table for this team? Not that they necessarily will do, but how much change do you think is on the table that they would consider in terms of the major players or pieces within the organization?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this ownership group has ever been afraid of making personnel changes, whether that is players on the team. You know, you're looking at a guy that's going to have his number up in the rafters and Chris Middleton that was traded in the middle of this season, an NBA champion and, you know, a guy that's going to go down in Bucks history in 2021 and Drew Holiday from a player perspective. They fired Adrian Griffin 43 games in the last season. They got rid of Mike Budenholzer after five of the most successful seasons in the NBA because they thought his time had run out. So, I mean, I don't think there's really a cap that you'd put on that because this organization, this ownership group, has kind of always been willing to make bold and aggressive moves. So to me, I don't think I'd be comfortable saying anything is off the table because that's not really what this group has shown. They've shown that even if it is expensive and they have to pay multiple coaches, like they will fire a coach and they will make moves. So to me, I think everything could be on the table this offseason if this ends up going poorly.
That is Eric Nahum, Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter for The Athletic, also the author of 100 Things Bucks, and you can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Nahum. Eric, always a pleasure, my man. It's been too long. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.